B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Two rock legends join me today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. First up, it's Jeff Downes from Yes, The Buggles, and Asia. The new Asia box set, the reunion albums, is out right now, 2007 to 2012. We talked a lot about Asia, including whether or not he was surprised at their huge success.
The scale of it, definitely. I mean, I think we knew we had something, and I think we felt strongly about the album.
We talked about their most recent tour, with Ron Bumblefoot Thal fronting the band. Plus, he played in Yes, and one of my favorite bass players is Chris Squire. I was curious to know what it was like to play with a guy of that caliber.
Oh, playing with Chris is incredible. I was thinking he's always a great exponent of mine in many ways, and he always used to push me.
Then it's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member Glenn Hughes. He's with the Dead Daisies, whose new record, Holy Ground, just came out in January. So what's Glenn been doing to kill time during the pandemic?
Well, what I did, I went in the studio and wrote a follow-up album to Holy Ground.
They're about to embark on their Get Out of the House tour. We talk about getting back on stage, having Tommy Clufetis join the band, as well as more Rock and Roll Hall of Fame talk. He's not just in the hall.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame president, Greg Harris, asked me if I'd like to be a global ambassador for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I said, what, me? He said, yes, you. I said, okay.
It's Glenn Hughes and Jeff Downes today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Man, it's been a busy week here at the Talkin' Rock podcast. Start out the week with Matt Dorito from Pop Evil, as well as Kevin Smokler from Vinyl Nation. This is a pretty cool documentary about vinyl records. Of course, National Record Store Day, June 12th, is coming up tomorrow as I record this. Mike Levine from Triumph was on the show this week as well. He's actually the national ambassador for Record Store Day for Canada. So we talked to him in a classic interview with the guys from Tenacious D. Where else are you going to get that? Kyle Gass and Jack Black from 2004, I think it was. Anyhow, today we're caught up. We're all caught up and ready to go with Glenn Hughes, of course, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. We'll get to that coming up here in just a bit. But first up, it's Jeff Downes. Never had a chance to talk to him. I'm so bummed out. I talk about this in the interview that Asia actually played here in 2019 in Detroit, where I am. And, of course, I'm out of town. It's so hard to plan my vacation schedule around concerts. It's almost impossible. Every single time I've taken a week off, there's always been some sort of massive show I want to see, of course, with the exception of last year. But at that time, I was actually in St. Augustine in Florida. And I'm such a, you know, a fan and a friend of Ron Bumblefoot Thal. And I wanted to see that show so bad. And, of course, I was out of town. So, anyways, but yeah, the new reunion albums 2007 and 2012 is out right now, even as we speak. And Jeff Downes was nice enough to take a few minutes to talk with us about that and much more.
How's Meltdown?
I'm doing great, man. Just here in Detroit, a big fan of your stuff with Yes, of course. I was thinking about, Asia, of course, Yes, too. But I was thinking about this earlier today. That era of that music and that when it first came out in the early 80s was when I was just discovering music, and that stuff was all over the radio. And I put those records on today, and it just flashes me back to my time as a kid discovering all that stuff.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it was a great era. We all enjoyed it. I mean, it was I was happy to be a part of it, and you know, happy to still be keeping Asia going.
Yeah, 40 years later, now you got this this reunion albums box set out, the 2007 and 2012. And, you know, excuse me for the ignorance, was there a box set put out of the earlier stuff at one point?
Not so much a box set. I mean, there have been various compilations that have been out over the years. But I think this is the first time that we've actually managed to capture not just the original album which we've done with Fantasia, which is, encompasses all of the older albums and even, you know, going prior to our previous bands and stuff like that. But to go from that point on, and then when we got back together in 2006 to put together the forthcoming three albums that were a very significant part of the whole reunion thing, I think.
Yeah, I heard you talking about this before, where you guys just got back together in a room and you weren't sure really what was going to happen. The next thing you know, you're making music, which I would have to assume with guys of your caliber and your musicality, that probably shouldn't have even been a second thought. You probably should have gone in there just thinking that was going to happen anyways, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So
that's right.
So anyways, so yeah, this is all coming out now. And also with the earlier stuff, I've always wanted to ask you about this. That song, Countdown to Zero, now that's the beginning synthesizer part. That's used in the beginning of movies, the THX thing, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we borrowed that because, well, we felt that it was an important sound, you know. So, I don't think it wasn't patented, so we borrowed that. But it's a kind of, it gives a nice impression of where that song, you know, the content of the song.
Yeah, because I always thought that you guys had actually created that, and then the movie company would come and buy, and, you know, they asked if they can use it or something. But you guys took that from them.
Well, actually, we had it before, because it's actually, I put it in a sampler, and I messed around with it and detuned it and did loads of stuff with it. So I think I could actually claim that I'd heard it before from it was a demo that someone had done of it, and then of course we used it on our album, and then it became used more by the film company.
Gotcha.
So we might have been there a bit earlier on, actually.
Now, when you guys first got together and formed Asia, were you guys surprised by the success that the band had?
The scale of it, definitely. I mean, I think we knew we had something, and I think we felt strongly about the album. We had a great record label with Geffen at the time. You know, we were the first band on the label. We had great management. We had great personnel. I think we had great songs. So I think we felt that we had, you know, a lot of good stuff going for us. We had great artwork. We were confident that we had something, but you can never predict that something's going to be as big as it was. I mean, the biggest selling album of 1982. You can't really, you know, if you're a gambling man, you couldn't put money on it. But as I say, I think we knew that we had something strong. We had a powerful album on our hands.
Yeah, because sometimes you can put together all sorts of great musicians and it doesn't really work. But, man, did that work? That was like, you know, a super group. And correct me if I'm wrong, you were kind of really young into your career. I mean, you had the Buggles, you just got into Yes and stuff, and then that kind of closed up shop. So you were just pretty much starting out, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I was the baby of the band, really, in many ways, because those guys had all had these big careers in the 70s, you know, with King Crimson and Yes and an ELP. So I was like the baby of the band, really, in a way. But I think, in some respects, I think that one of the reasons that they liked having me in there was because I come from more of a modern technological look at playing keyboards rather than the old sort of, I mean, I still had the Hammond and the piano and all that sort of stuff, but, you know, I was really into synthesizers and the modern sound and very much 80s kind of keyboards playing. And so I think the other guys really embraced that notion that, you know, I was going to bring something to the equation that maybe they hadn't seen before. And so I think that was the excitement for them, and the fact that we could be doing something that was, not these great big long songs that they've been used to doing, but something that was a bit more concise, something that was a bit more... not mainstream, I suppose, in many ways.
Yeah, it was pop and rock, but it did have that little taste of prog in there as well. But you guys seem to mesh it and put it together. And just listening back to those Yes records and stuff, I know that you didn't come on until 1980. But what was it like playing with a guy like Chris Squire?
Oh, playing with Chris is incredible. He's always a great exponent of mine in many ways, and he always used to push me. He had a great musical brain, and he would always push me at the time, all the times that I've ever worked with him. And I'm very grateful that I had someone like that as someone to bounce off, because Chris was Yes in many ways by all intents and purposes. You know, he'd been on every single album, He'd been in every single manifestation of Yes. So Chris was the guy, and a fantastic, as you know, for one of the most original bass players of all time. So I was great working with him. I've been very fortunate that I've always worked with great bass players. Certainly, even going back to Trevor and the Buggles, John Wetton in Asia, Chris in Yes, Greg Lake, and even people like Glenn Hughes and stuff like that. So I've been very lucky that I've managed to have this understanding with bass players that, you know, we can write music together.
Yeah, speaking of Glenn, I'm going to be talking to him here in a little bit. What should I ask Glenn?
Say hello and say, you know, we enjoyed doing the work tapes together. That was a great album that we did.
Yeah. Another one of my friends here, last thing here for you, Jeff. Another one of my friends, good friend of mine, is Bumblefoot. I know you guys toured a couple years ago. I was kicking myself because, of course, I'm on vacation when you guys are in Detroit. I'm in Florida. I couldn't believe I didn't get to go see the show. But what is it like playing with a guy like Bumblefoot?
Well, he's an amazing talent. I mean, I was working with him on a project back in, I think, 2016 called the Platinum Rock All-Stars. And we were doing some gigs, me, him, and Carmen Apici from, Vanilla Fudge and
right.
Rod Stewart and whatever. So we had this like kind of like it was a mini super group, you know, kind of thing. And I really got on well with Ron because I realized that he was a great progressive rock player as well. Not just, you know, he's a great across-the-board player. He could play anything. And so when we got offered to do this tour, the Royal Affair tour, I contacted him and said, look, you know, would you want to do this? And he said, well, you know, I'll do it as best I can. But he did a fantastic job, and he was very diligent in trying to deliver the songs in the same way that John delivered them. And, of course, his guitar playing was brilliant. So he was a great addition. And I think that hopefully if we get back out there again, Rob will be with us and we can do some more Asia.
Yeah, I remember he was sweating the singing part, but as far as the guitar part, I mean, he can play anything that's out there. But he texted me that, Jeff, he goes, excellent, such a great guy. That was his comment for you. So.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, no, he's a really nice guy, and he did a fantastic job and really got on well.
Last thing, I mean, is there any plans to tour again, or are you just kind of, like you just said, just, well, maybe we'll see somewhere down the road?
Well, you know, I think we've just got to wait and see. We'll go out when we're given the green light. It's as simple as that, really.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Jeff, a pleasure to talk to you. Love all the music you've put out over all the years. The reunion albums 2007 and 2012 is out actually today as I record this. So congratulations on that, and congratulations on a stellar career.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
One down, one to go, another town, and one more show. I should write that down. Those sound like awesome lyrics for a song. Anyways, Glenn Hughes, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member, is up next. The Get Out of the House tour is going to be cranking up here pretty soon with Glenn and his new band that he's in called the Dead Daisies. Yeah, that's right. Glenn is in that band now. They dropped a record back in January called Holy Ground. And he talks about that, talks about what he's been doing during the pandemic, as well as playing with some Detroit players, and more today with Glenn.
My pleasure indeed, my pleasure.
Yeah, Token Lounge coming up June 30th. And man, last time I saw you was at the Token Lounge, and I've tweeted out about this, and I think I might have even told you in person. I was completely blown away by that show. Just your playing and your singing may have been the most impressive thing I'd seen on stage in years.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, I know that we had talked before the show and stuff, and you said you'd taken good care of yourself in the past, you know, decade or whatever, couple decades, and it really showed.
Yeah, a lifestyle change was much needed for me. So, I have a rich life, almost 5 decades of doing this now. So I'm really grateful to still be doing what I'm doing. Really grateful.
Now, of course, with the pandemic and stuff, everything shut down. I've talked to a lot of artists and a lot of rock bands and stuff. Did you feel that maybe some of your being was actually living on stage and that was taken away from you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, my last show, Frank, was November 29, 2019, in London, England, before the pandemic came. And, of course, everyone you speak to that's a rock and roll artist had the same. We've had this long layoff, if you will. What I've been doing, people ask me, what did you do, Mr.? Well, what I did, I went in the studio and wrote a follow-up album to Holy Ground, which, as you know, is the new Dead Daisies album. So we got another album ready to record at some point, hopefully this year.
Wait a second. So the Holy Ground just came out a few months back, and you're already ready to go with another one?
Well, yeah. I came up with the songs last summer. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Holy Ground is really an ass kicker, man. It's really good stuff. You must have felt rejuvenated to get in that band, huh?
Well, for me, they wanted me to come in and write some songs, which I did, and we got together in the summer of 2019 in L.A., and I brought in Unspoken and Holy Ground and, you know, Like No Other, My Fate, and we recorded them as demos, and it worked wonderfully. So we thought we'd continue, and then we went to the south of France, which doesn't suck, at the end of 2019 to make the album.
Wait, wow, wait a second. Why did you go all the way out there to make the record? I might have missed this part.
We wanted to, because I was the new guy in the band, we wanted to have the feeling of camaraderie, being in a place where we can actually record and stay, like a glorified place to live and record. And we searched, a team searched the globe looking for the appropriate place to play and record. And that would be, I'm laughing because that would be the south of France, wouldn't it? So it's wonderful.
I'm going to have to tell my wife this next time when she asks, where do we need to go to, you know, get away from everything? And, yeah, it's just the south of France, I guess, to record records and whatnot. So,
very fortunate for me. It's great.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, did going to the south of France actually help in some sort of creative way?
Yes. Wherever I record is going to be dictated by the surroundings. It was a 400-year-old chateau, a wonderful place, beautiful surroundings, and it created a wonderful atmosphere.
No, I can imagine. Man, I like to go to the south of France. Well, you know, in Detroit, I like to go south anywhere, to be quite honest with you. So, but no, the record is really outstanding, and of course, you know, you're no stranger to working with guys from Detroit. Now, we'll get to Tommy here in just a second, but who played drums on this record? Was it Dean?
It was Dean. Yeah.
And Dean. Now Tommy Clefettis is going out with you guys. Have you guys had a chance to rehearse or jam yet?
Yeah, we were in New York 2 weeks ago. Going back tomorrow. So Tommy, as you know, is a Detroit native,
right?
And I love him. He's such a good kid. You know, I call him a kid. He's younger than me, of course, but he's a great guy, a great drummer, and he's from one of my favorite cities in the whole world, Detroit.
Yeah. So, and you're no stranger to playing with drummers from Detroit, with Chad Smith too.
No, Chad has played on my last 4 solo albums, and when I get to do another one, he'll play on that as well. So, very, very blessed to have Chad as one of my closest friends.
Yeah, Chad is really building up quite a resume. He told me once that when he used to jam downstairs at his house, his mom would come back from getting the groceries and she would turn the lights on and off so he knew that she was home.
Right. Remember, he had a band called Toby Red in the 80s. I'm sure everyone in Detroit knows about Chad's history of a band called Toby Red.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I'm so happy. He's such a great guy. Love him to pieces.
Yeah, so with Tommy and stuff, I mean, Tommy's just a monster, like you said. I mean, just you guys are going to be a machine out there on the road, it sounds like.
We are a pounding rhythm machine. I I've known Tommy for a couple of years because he worked with Sabbath, as you know, and I'm really good friends with those guys in Sabbath. So I met him a couple of years ago at Geezer's house. And, of course, 2 weeks ago, we got together for 7 or 8 rehearsal sessions in New York. Tommy fits like a glove, let me tell you. Like a glove.
Now, how long did you guys jam through all these sessions? A few hours, or do you go through the whole set list, or what do you do?
Yeah, we are rigorous about getting the show right. We've got lots of songs. Obviously, we'll play 8 songs from Holy Ground, and the rest of the show will be some older Dead Daisy songs and a couple of cover songs that I'll bring in from Deep Purple.
Oh, really? Well, that's cool. And, of course, you covered Humble Pie there, right, on the new record?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, what was that all about? Just you just liked that song and decided to cover it?
Well, Steve was a good friend of mine, and paying homage to him was a big thing for me. I didn't actually sing so much on that song. I let Dean take that one. But for me, knowing you were going to do, a Steve Marriott song, he wrote that. I miss him dearly. He's one of the greatest ever all-time singers.
Yeah, now, he had a radio show in Cleveland, didn't he?
Yes.
Did you ever go on his radio show?
I did not.
No, no kidding. No. That would have been something interesting. Of course, you know, Cleveland there has a big history with all sorts of rock and roll legends, including the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and stuff, which you're in. And you got to, now people may or may not know this, but you get to vote every year, don't you?
I do, yeah. I'm an ambassador. I don't know if you remember, in 2016, when everyone got inducted, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame president, Greg Harris, asked me if I'd like to be a global ambassador for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I said, what, me? He said, yes, you. I said, okay. So I go to the Hall of Fame a couple of times a year to do things for them and work with them, et cetera, et cetera.
That is so cool. So, I mean, it's such a great honor, obviously, to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and then, you know, to do that on top of it. That's awesome.
It's amazing. It really is. I have to pinch myself.
So I was just talking to Mike Levine the other day. It's, of course, he's the ambassador, the Canadian ambassador for Record Store Day with Triumph and whatnot. Are you a record fan?
I am.
Have you been buying vinyl up or no?
Not of late, but a couple of years ago, I was all about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what, these records get expensive too, these new ones.
I know. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and Holy Ground, of course, is pressed. I got to get a copy of that on vinyl as well. But oh, by the way, I just talked to Jeff Downs, and he said hello. I just talked to him like an hour ago.
Oh, I love Jeff, old friend of mine. Good guy.
Yeah, could you imagine when you first started out in this business? I mean, obviously, I'm 3 decades into my career and stuff, and you're further along than that. But you've really made friends and played with legends.
I have, you know, some of them are still alive, thank God. But, you know, I come from a long history of rock and roll musicians from the UK. I've been living in America now 40-plus years, so I'm an American citizen. But you can hear my accent. I've definitely got a British thing happening still.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have asked you this before, but I can't recall. What was your inspiration to pick up a bass or just play rock music?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I was trained to be a trombone player. I was named after Glenn Miller, the famous captain in the American forces who lost his life in the Second World War. So I was placed with the trombone in my mouth at 10 years old. And of course, when I saw the Beatles on TV when I was 12, I said to my mother, Mom, can I have one of those wooden instruments? The rest is rock and roll history. You know, but Paul McCartney was a big influence for me.
You know,
and James Jameson, fellow Detroit native.
That's right.
My favorite bass player in the whole world, James Jameson from Detroit. There you go.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. A lot of bass players I talk to say that. Have you ever checked out you got Geddy Lee's Big Beautiful Book of Bass?
I have not. No, I don't. Check that out.
Yeah, I told Tom Peterson about that from Cheap Trick last week, and he says he can't afford any of those basses, so he doesn't want to look at it.
That's funny.
How many basses do you own?
I think I've got around 40 basses, something like that.
And do you have some for sentimental reasons and some that you just really like the way they sound or play?
I've got some vintage ones, you know. I've got one that was got the original price tag on it and the original strings, 1962 jazz bass.
Wow.
Which sits in my studio. It's like Bonamassa keeps telling me, you know, take the price tag off of it and change the strings, but I can't do it. So it's up there, but, you know, it is. I mean, I've got some vintage stuff, but I collect a lot of guitars. I've been very fortunate that way. Pretty grateful.
Yeah, when I was talking to Jeff Downs a few minutes ago, I asked him about playing with Chris Squire, man. That guy was, like, unbelievable, huh?
incredible bass player. Incredible.
Yeah. Where would you rank him? I mean, James Jamerson is at the top for you?
Well, when I talk about bass playing, for me, it started for me, funny enough, not funny, but Detroit, Tamla Motown bass players, Carol King and James Jamerson, those two key members for me, that's where it started for me. Less is more. James Jamerson played on more number one R&B tracks than any other bass player, and he's been dead a long time. So for me, when I think of groove bass players, it's James Jamerson. And with other stuff like Chris with the pick, he's playing into us all. Those two guys, Brits, were truly amazing. But another British guy, which was the most underrated bass player I've ever heard, is Andy Fraser from the band Free, who, Andy wouldn't mind me saying this, he's a dear friend of mine. He was also a James Jamerson fanatic.
Yeah, during the pandemic, like when it first started, I was watching all sorts of documentaries and different things, and I watched that one on Jaco Pastorius. I never really knew exactly who he was, but his name kept coming up when I would talk to guys.
Yeah, James. Jaco was, wow, the most melodic rock jazz player I've ever heard in my whole life. He was truly, truly one of a kind.
Did you ever have a chance to meet that guy?
I didn't. I almost got to do that, but it didn't happen. Such a shame.
Yeah, what a great player. And it seemed like he had a giant ego.
James, Jaco has some issues, as we all do.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'll tell you what, Glenn, it's got to be good to be back in a band and putting out music and all that kind of stuff, huh? You're ready to go.
It is. I can't wait to get back to Detroit. I've played the Token Lounge a couple of times before. And Detroit, for me, it all started at the Fox Theater in 1971. And, of course, Cobo Hall and numerous other great venues, arenas and clubs and theaters in Detroit. And now it's back to the Token Lounge for me, giving all I can for the name of rock music and for all my fans out there who are looking forward to seeing me. I am looking forward to seeing you too. It'll be a great, great, great concert experience. You have my word.
You know, it's funny while you're talking about Detroit and playing in Detroit. I think, I talked to David Coverdale once, and he was saying that I think David Coverdale said his first big show in the United States was in Detroit at Cobo Hall.
It was same day as me. David and I joined Purple at the same time, and our first show would have been February 74 at Cobo. Two shows, sold out shows. It was great.
Man, what great memories. Well,
Ted Nugent was the opening act.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep, Ted Nugent, of course, Detroit guy as well. Well, Glenn, thank you as always so much for your time. That's June 30th coming up at the Token Lounge. And like I said, last time I was blown away, so I will definitely be there again this time. So,
thank you. Again, to all of my friends in Detroit and surrounding area, come down and say hi to me. We're going to have a great, great show. I look forward to seeing you all.
Glenn Hughes and Jeff Downs today on the Talkin' Rock of Meltdown podcast. Thank you guys so much for checking this out. Hopefully it gives you a little bit of a different perspective into the lives and the times of some of these guys right here. I try not to ask the typical questions. Sometimes you got to. You have to ask some of these typical questions just to kind of get to some of the questions that are a little bit more out there. But always great to talk with rock and roll legends like these two guys that have really been around and done so much. Yeah, it's so cool that that if you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you get to vote on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members. It's really cool. Hopefully, we get more rock guys in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and we can vote more rock guys in, if you know what I'm saying. That's a discussion for another time. In the meantime, it's a Friday here when I'm recording this, so have a great weekend. If it's a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday when you're listening to it, have a great week, I guess.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.